Let's turn to John chapter 21 tonight. John chapter number 21. John's Gospel chapter number 21. Let's back up in verse 30 of chapter 20. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. I want to look in chapter 21 tonight and see what it is that God wants us to believe. I believe there's some things here that will be a blessing to us tonight if we can get a hold of them and they can get a hold of us. Let's read it together. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee. Who were they? What were their names? James and John, that's right. Who said that? That's right, brother, James and John. I had a fellow ask me one time, it's kind of a trick question. He said, preacher, who was the father of Zebedee's children? You'll get that after a while, amen. And the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And the Bible said, they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught, what's that word right there? Nothing. There's a verse of scripture, I didn't look it up tonight, but Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's exactly right. Used to love the way Brother Garris, he was from Michigan, I believe, pronounced the word nothing. He would say nothing. And I never had heard it that way before. The Bible said, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, I love this question, children, have you any meat? Can I ask you this? How many believes Jesus knew the answer before he asked the question? He didn't ask the question for his own benefit. He asked the question for their benefit. The Bible said they answered him, no. And he saith unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, or unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes. In other words, it wasn't just bluegill. There's some big ones in there. That's what the Bible's talking about there. 153. And for all there was so many, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, or they dare not ask him. That'd be what that word kind of means. Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he? And he had said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then when this saying went abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die, Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. And we pray, Lord, tonight that, Lord, that as we try to, Lord, expound upon it and teach it tonight, I pray, Father, tonight that you would, Lord, open our ears. Give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us. Open our hearts, our Lord, that we might both deliver and receive the words of truth. Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, there be someone, Lord, that doesn't know you, God, that this might be the hour, Lord, that they'd be stirred in their heart and challenged, Lord, to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord, what a blessing you are to us tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I just want to go into the chapter tonight with an open heart and an open mind. And there's three things that the Lord's magnified over and over as I've read this over and over. And I want to go into it tonight and just see what God would say to us. I believe that when the Bible said these things are written that you might believe, I believe there's some things in chapter 21 that God wants us to believe with all of our heart. And the first thing tonight that I want to look at is I believe that God wants us to believe that His desire for us is to be fruitful. God wants us to bear fruit. Jesus said over there, if you get into John chapter, I believe it was chapter 15, there was no fruit, then there was fruit, then there was more fruit, and then the Bible said, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I believe tonight that ought to be a goal of every child of God, is to bring glory to God, amen, and to bear fruit for the glory of God. I want to give you some things, first of all tonight, some hindrances that I see in the chapter. There's some hindrances to bearing fruit, and every one of us will be able to put our finger on these in our own lives, I believe, if we'll be honest. And I've said this for years, we'll never get help till we get honest. When we get honest before the Lord, amen, then God can help us. The first hindrance that I see to bearing fruit and being fruitful for the glory of God is found in verse number 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, what's that next word? I. That's a great old big I. And that I will get in the way. Amen. I tell you what, the Christian life, when you and I got saved by the grace of God, our life should have went from I to Him. Amen. It should no longer be about me. It should be about him, about Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And we see that I gets in the way. I've heard many preachers, and you have too, say, my worst enemy, I look at him in the mirror. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that. I believe there's a lot of things in this day and hour that are blamed on the devil that the devil didn't have nothing to do with, other than the curse that we got under by listening to him to start with. But I believe more it's the flesh, amen, that is hindering us from being all that God wants us to be and being fruitful. You say, preacher, I don't know why you would call that fruitful. Well, the Bible said here they worked all night. They fished all night and they caught nothing. I believe that if you'll remember correctly, there was a time when Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And the word of God said he left his nets. You remember that? And he followed Jesus. Amen. And I believe that here's Peter, not only is he hindered by that big eye, but he's hindered by his past. He's going back. He's going back to what he was before. Now, I'm going to say something tonight, and we'll get into all of this after a while, but I believe that what Peter needed was not easy for Peter to admit. I believe Peter had gotten away from God out there by the fire and gotten away when he cursed, amen, and even though Jesus had already stepped in their midst when they were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews and said, peace be unto you, I believe Peter needed something personally from the Lord Jesus Christ than that eye was getting in the way, and he wasn't looking forward to being dealt with what needed to be dealt with in his life. I want to give you another thing tonight. Not only is that eye a hindrance, not only is going backwards a hindrance. Remember the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. But I want to give you another hindrance, I believe, that would keep us from being fruitful. Look, if you will, in verse 20 and 21 tonight. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now, Peter's not... He's had this encounter with Jesus. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm looking at some hindrances right now. Some hindrances to being all that God wants us to be and being fruitful for the glory of God. He's got his eyes off of himself. Now, let me ask you something. There's one place that the devil and the flesh and the world does not want us to get our eyes on. Where would that be? That's exactly right. So... Now the Peter's got his eyes off of himself, and now he's got his eyes on John. You see, it doesn't matter to the devil how that he hinders. It doesn't matter to the flesh how that it hinders. It doesn't matter to the world. Just so there's a hindrance. And so now Peter's talking about John, and he said, turning about, he seeth that disciple whom Jesus loved. And I could read all that again, leaned on his breast, the one that said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? That's talking about John. And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? I tell you, this backs up something I've said for years. It's a full-time job knowing what you're supposed to do and knowing what I'm supposed to do without me standing here trying to figure out what somebody else is supposed to do. And so Peter is saying, Lord, what's this man going to do? And I listen to Jesus' answer. He said, if I will that he tarry till I come, look at this. Jesus is not being a smart aleck. He said, what is that to thee? What's that got to do with you and bringing glory to God and being a fruitful servant of God? Listen, he's helping Peter, amen. And I believe the reason that Peter is going to get tripped up if he's not careful, it's because of the hindrances. The past, looking at someone else rather than looking in the mirror and seeing what he needed to do for the glory of God. So the Lord desires for us to be fruitful. You know, the Bible, a lot of people, I've been in churches where they don't want you to record how many you had in Sunday school.
or how many you had in the morning service. They don't want you to record the offering. In other words, they think that none nobody's business, so to speak. Most of the churches where that goes on is because they're sure not proud, amen, of what's going on. They're not proud of what's not going on, I guess what I could say. But listen, the Lord put a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. And the Lord, listen, this is under divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wanted us to know that the net had 100, not 52, not 54, but 153 fishes in them. And that they were big ones. Great fishes, amen. I don't know how big that had to be. I know it couldn't have been what Jonah was faced with when he was faced with a great fish, because that fish swallowed him. And I just don't believe you'd got 153 of them in that was able to swallow a man. But they were big fish. And Jesus wanted us to know that. And I'll say something to you tonight. Listen to me carefully. Whatever God wants you to do, it's big. If somebody else looks at it, it might be little. But if God wants you to do something, it's big in the eyes of God. Amen. The Bible, the songwriter said, little is much if God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it. But not looking at I and not looking at somebody else, but looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what the Word of God is teaching us. Let me give you this. The Lord desires for us to be fruitful. I'm looking at the hindrances for just a minute here. Now let's look at the help. The help. How did they get help? How is it that they got to the place where they went from nothing to 153? Not one thing to show for an offering. And by the way, y'all are aware that three of these men were professionals at this. Ain't that right? Three of them. I mean, this is what they'd done for a living. They knew where the fish were. And they knew how to do it. But Jesus is teaching a lesson here. Beloved, listen, they can no longer depend upon themselves. They've come to a place in their life where they must depend on the Lord. I'm going to say this. This is a danger. It's a danger for a teacher. It's a danger for a preacher. It's a danger for a song leader. It's a danger for any Christian to think that I've got this now and I no longer have to depend on the Lord. I believe that's what happened to the church at Laodicea. They said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of, what did they say? Nothing. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I believe that's a danger. I believe, listen, that in a lot of places, the Holy Spirit can be just plumb gone. Gone. And one day he will be gone. Amen. Only he who now letteth will let, till he be taken out of the way. That's what the Word of God said. And I believe a lot of places church will go on as usual because he's standing on the outside knocking, wanting to come in right now. The Lord desires for us to be fruitful. The help that we see, number one, under that, getting the help that we need a word from Jesus. You see, they fished all night, and Jesus said unto them in verse number 5, children, have ye any meat? And then not only in getting help do they have a word from Jesus, but they get honest with Jesus. They said, no, we don't have any meat. We've not caught anything. Jesus knew that. Let me ask you something. How many believes that was difficult for Peter to admit? I'm a professional at this, and I don't have one fish. There's not one little bluegill. There's not even a bait fish in the net. There's nothing in the net. So watch this. Now the Bible said, he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I believe there's a word from Jesus. I've said it for years. I believe he can get more done in 30 seconds than I can get done in 30 years. Or a church can get done in 300 years. I'm telling you, listen, you know what a lost man needs? He needs a word from Jesus. You know who delivers that word? The blessed Holy Ghost. Amen. He's the one that delivers that word past the ears of a man down into the heart of a man where he can hear. I believe business is picking up here with Peter. And he hears the word, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast it therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. We know tonight that there's an enemy that wants to hinder us, but thank God there's an ally that wants to help us. Amen. The Lord Jesus, he wants to give us a word. Now, I want you to notice now the way of Jesus. I'm just going to be general and going through this for just a moment. But Jesus didn't rebuke them. He didn't stand on the seashore and say, Peter, what are you doing out there naked? He didn't mock him. He didn't make fun of him. He didn't say, well, I thought y'all was professionals at this. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's not Jesus' way. You know how Jesus will cause a man to repent? He'll smother him with his goodness. You're going to see the way of Christ in this here. He says, boys, let me help you. Amen. Just throw that net on the other side. He's not interested in embarrassing them. Beloved, let me say this tonight. We got to be careful. Yes, we need to stand for what's right, but we should never be in the business of embarrassing people. Amen. Let me just tell you like this. I don't care who you are tonight. You let God lay all your sin out here in front of this church, and it'll embarrass a fool out of you, and it'll embarrass a fool out of me as well. That's not the way of Jesus. These boys was out there doing the best they could. Somebody said, well, I'm just doing the best I can. I tell you what, God's way is not for us to do the best we can. God's way is for us to lean on him and look to him, amen, and do what God wants us to do. We see the way of Jesus. I believe with all my heart. Listen to me. Oh boy, God just give me something. When they got to the shore, you remember what was going on? There was a fire. You remember that? That's what the Bible said, ain't it? There were coals of fire. And there was something on it. Phew, hallelujah, Brother Rose. There was fish. And there was bread. Ain't that right? You know what? The Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, son, I really don't need you, but you sure do need me. In other words, I can have fish without you, but you can't have fish without me. Amen. That's a blessing, ain't it? Amen. I can make it without you, but you can't make it without me. God's people ought to shout hallelujah right there. That's the truth. Amen. And God help us to know that tonight. The way of Jesus. Then I want to show you this tonight, the welcome of Jesus. And I know we're back and forth in the chapter, but I'm just giving it to you like he gave it to me. Amen. That's all I know how to do, and I hope that's all I ever know how to do. Look here in verse number 18. You say, preacher, what do you mean by the welcome? He's helped by the word from Jesus, by a word from Jesus, by the way of Jesus. And he's helped to be fruitful, and it'll help us by the welcome from Jesus. Now, Jesus is pointing Peter towards the end. By the way, beloved, listen to me. We're all headed that way. We're all headed that way when we'll breathe our last breath. The blood will pump through our lungs and our heart the last time. The brain waves will shut down, and we're going to leave this world. That's what Jesus is pointing Peter to. Look at verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, thou walkest where thou wouldest. In other words, Peter, you done whatever you wanted to do when you were young. But he said, listen, things are going to change. You're going to be old. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. All kinds of applications could be made right there, but here's what God wants to say to us tonight. I tell you what will help us to be interested in bringing fruit and bearing fruit to the glory of God. That's realizing the end is coming. And when it comes, we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give an account of the deeds done in our body. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. I hope nobody misunderstands what I'm about to say. But I'm not standing at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for my sin. If I had to give an account for my sin, I couldn't go to heaven. My sin was accounted for at Calvary. My sin was paid for at Calvary. You say, well, preacher, if I believed that, I'd just sin. Paul said, God forbid. If you believe that, you'll shout. You won't sin, amen. You don't want to sin. But listen, what I'm going to give an account of is my service. That's what we're talking about here, fruitfulness. We're not talking about bearing fruit so you can get into heaven. We're talking about bearing fruit because your name's written in heaven and because you're already in, amen? You're already justified. You're already glorified in the eyes of God. And so God points Peter to the end of his life. There's an end. We need to consider the end. The Lord desires for us to be fruitful. How many believes that tonight? The Lord wants us to be fruitful. He does. And I believe there's hindrances to that, but I believe if we'll look past the hindrances and see Jesus, we'll see the help that we need. Let me give you this tonight. Not only does the Lord, and I believe that, I believe that's what he's saying, that these things are written here, that you might believe. We need to believe that God wants us to be fruitful. God don't just want the pastor to be fruitful or the preachers to be fruitful or the deacons to be fruitful. God wants every one of his children to be fruitful for the honor and glory of God Almighty. The second thing I want to leave with you tonight is the Lord not only desires for us to be fruitful, and this is kind of, it goes hand in hand in a way. In other words, really in order to be fruitful, we see that the Lord desires for us to be in fellowship. You say, preacher, where did you get that? Well, after Jesus has fixed the fish and he's fixed the bread on the fire, what's he do now? He has a conversation with Peter. He loves Peter. By the way, beloved, Peter don't know it yet, but Jesus already knows. I'm going to stand you up, buddy, like a saw log. Your backbone look like a saw log. I'm going to stand you up, and you ain't going to care if they cut your head off. You're going to preach a word of God and power. The Holy Ghost is going to be upon you, and they're going to be fruit like you ain't never seen before. We're not talking about 153 fishes now. We're talking about 3,000 souls that are going to get saved because God reached out there and said, there's my buddy. He ain't in fellowship. He's real worried about what he done back yonder at that other fire. He's concerned about that. I know he is. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. If I thought he was dead and he stepped in the room where I was at, I'd be concerned about denying him too. Say amen. Peter, Jesus could have looked at Peter and said, son, what were you thinking? He could have looked, Brother Houston, at Peter and said, I told you, didn't I? Before the cock crowed, you'd deny me three times. No. Listen, that wasn't the issue. He said three different times, Peter. I'm paraphrasing. He says, lovest thou me, but he said, do you love me? You see, Peter, if you love me, that'll take care of everything else. If you love me, son, you can be in fellowship with me. I believe that, again, going to the book of Revelation, the problem with the church at Ephesus, they didn't have that problem where we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But the Word of God said they left their first love. You say what you want to. You can still be doing the work after you leave your first love, but you'll not be doing it in fellowship with God. God wants us to love him. It's a blessing tonight. Jesus says in verse number 12, listen, put yourself in Jesus' shoes. If you were the Lord Jesus, don't you think there might have been some rebuke in here? Don't you think it Glory. Don't you think Peter deserved to be rebuked? And he's glad we don't get what we deserve. If we did, beloved, we'd get worse than rebuked. We'd get judged. Now listen to me tonight. The Lord desires for us to be in fellowship. And he's gonna work all this out here. Shoo, God just showed me something else. Something I've been saying for years. They don't nobody care how much you know till they know how much you care. Jesus, Sister Jennifer and Sister Gwen, you take meals and you get meals together. And you go over here to fellowship hall and feed a family of 20, 25, 30, 35 people that's grieving in their heart. You know what we're doing? We're just showing that we care. You know what Jesus did when he started that fire and he cooked them boys something to eat and he cooked that bread? I'll just say this to you tonight. I don't know what perfect fish is. I love fish, don't I, Brother Gary? Don't I, Miss E? Amen. I love fish. I don't have to suffer for Jesus when you put fish in front of me. Amen. I love it. And I like it just right. I don't know what those guys thought about that fish, but I want to tell you something about it. It was perfect. That bread was absolutely perfect. It was perfect. How many believe that? The Son of God couldn't do nothing, Brother Rose, but that is absolutely perfect. And I believe that in getting in fellowship with God, that the Bible teaches the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I wonder what David felt like when Nathan stood there toe to toe with him and told the story about the poor man's little ewe lamb. Wonder what David felt like after he told the whole story and David just opened his mouth. He said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die. Nathan said, thou art the man. God give Nathan a backbone like a saw log too, didn't he? He could have been killed just as easily. I'm trying to remember the man's name now. I lost it. What was his name, Coulter? The one that David had killed. Uriah. Who said that? Brother Wayne, God bless you, buddy. Amen. Thank you. He could have had Nathan killed just as easily as he had Uriah killed. Could have killed him himself, got by with it. But you know, I believe it had been eating David's lunch. Probably, if you do the time frame here, probably for about a year. He couldn't pray like he used to pray. He couldn't write scripture like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, like he used to write. He talked about his bones were dried up. He was out of fellowship with God. And when Nathan said, thou art the man, I believe David saw an opportunity to get back in fellowship with God, get his joy back. Amen. I believe tonight that when Peter come up on that shore and he saw that fire and he saw that fish and he heard the kindness. You say, preacher, kindness? Yeah, I believe if we could hear the words of Jesus say, come and die, I believe we'd understand his kindness tonight. I believe that kindness got a hold of Peter's heart. And now Jesus is going to, he didn't address it at first. They've eaten now. Peter's got his belly full, the other men too. He said, when they had dined, in verse 15, Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I don't know. I can't prove it. I don't know exactly what he meant by more than these. Brother John, do you know for sure? But if you go back to Peter's denial, you remember Peter was exalting himself above the other disciples. He said, though they all leave you and forsake you, I'll go with you all the way. You remember that? And then Peter said, or Jesus told him, he said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. So was he saying, do you love me more than these? And talking about the other disciples, that's what you said. Do you love me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Was he talking about the net, the old life? There's a net. They've done drug it up there. Got 153 fishes in it. Do you love me more than these? By the way, I believe they both would apply. When we get saved, we're supposed to love him more than we love our past life. We're not supposed to return. Amen. Tonight, there's a desire for us to be in fellowship. We must leave the old life. We must be forgiven. And we must be restored. Let me give you this tonight and I'm done. The Lord desires for us to be fruitful. Do y'all believe that tonight? Y'all believe the Lord desires for us to be in fellowship? I'll say this tonight. The Bible teaches this. There'll be times when God will get his rod out. He'll get his belt out. He loves me that much. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. But there'll be other times when he'll just get his fish and his bread out and make me so ashamed. Is anybody with me tonight? Has anybody ever experienced that? Just look in the eyes of one of your grandchildren. Make you so ashamed of yourself that you'll repent. Say, oh God, I'm sorry. Beloved, I'll tell you tonight, I was talking to Olivia the other day. And I don't know where she got it. God only knows. But she found out what a word called scientifically. And she started using that. And I told Miss Eve, I'd give a $100 bill if somebody had had a tape player on when she was talking for that 10 minutes. I'd love to have got it out at her graduation party and said, here you go, baby. Listen, when you were 4 years old. I mean, she just went on and on and on. And she capped it off with this. Papa, I'm not just gorgeous. I'm a genius, too. God help us all. Amen. I promise you this. She's innocent in the transgression. For now. But God's used my grandbabies. John's he ever done that to you? God's used my wife. God's used the church. God has smothered me at times with his goodness. Beloved, ain't a one of us deserves to be sitting in this place tonight. And God in heaven knows I don't deserve to be standing in this place tonight. Sometimes God will get his belt, Brother Isaac, and he'll straighten us out. But other times he'll say, come here, son. And he'll smother us with his goodness. Make us so ashamed. Honest to goodness. I remember Brother Danny Sykes saying the difference between a whipping and a whooping. He said a whipping's two or three good licks and a whooping is two or three licks shy of eternity. When he said that, I remembered the four times my daddy whooped me. I mean, I thought I was going to die. But I can honestly say this, and God just brought this back to my mind. I didn't even plan on saying it. Brother Michael, I'd rather him whoop me. Just to sit down and talk to me and smother me with his goodness is easier on me. Amen. Because he would talk to us. State trooper pulled my dad over one time. We were going home from Glade Spring, Virginia, up to Maryland, going home, and dad was speeding. Had six kids in a old station wagon, looked like a hearse. And I guarantee you, Brother John, that Daddy would have rather had a ticket than the talking to that state trooper gave him. He said, "Sir, I want you to turn around and I want you to look back here in these seats. There are times when God will whoop us. There's times he'll just build a fire, put some fish on it and some bread, say, come and dine. Smothers. The last thing God wants for our lives, and I'll be done, he desires for us to be faithful." Look at verse 22. Chapter 21, verse 22. He said here, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" Look at those three words. "Follow thou me." That's what God desires for us tonight. It's just to be faithful. Just to follow him. He said the same thing basically in verse 19. When he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." The hindrances will come. The reason they come is because the adversary does not want us to follow him. Wants us to follow the world, wants us to follow ourselves and our self-ambitions. But you and I that are saved by the grace of God are made in the image of Christ. And the whole purpose of it all is that we might follow him, that we might be faithful. I can't hardly say the word faithful, Brother John, without thinking about Brother Fred. And when Sister Sue would talk to him at times, he'd get off on the timing, on the singing. Sometimes he wasn't even in the same book, let alone in the same song. Not very often. And she'd say, "Fred, why don't you just give that choir up?" I love his response, Brother Gary. "I just want to serve the Lord as long as I can." That ought to be the desire from the youngest. Chance might be the youngest in here tonight. I'd say he is. I'm looking around. Anybody younger than Chance in here tonight? Emily, you're younger than Chance, aren't you? Well, you're better looking, I'll tell you that. Amen. Amen. Nobody's younger than Chance. So it goes, you're younger than Chance? Oh, well, I can't see Darcy. I ain't Jesus. I don't know. She's laying down back there. Amen. Okay. From the youngest to the oldest, the desire of God tonight. I'm not going to start trying to figure out who's the oldest. That'll get a man in trouble. Especially if it's a woman. Amen. He wants us to be faithful. How many's glad you come tonight? I thank God for this old book, don't you? That you might believe. God said, "I want you to believe me tonight. I want you to believe that I want you to be faithful. I want you to be in fellowship." And I want you to be fruitful for the glory of God. Let's stand tonight.